Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
My dear friend, being here, it's been a cool week. I kind of was thinking about this. We've changed our message up. We're going to start a little series right before Easter, but I kind of wanted to change some things up. God's kind of dropped some things in my heart. Now, how many of you in school heard this phrase that these students are like little sponges? You ever heard that? That their brains are like little sponges? Okay. I didn't get told that very often, but other people, the people I cheated off of were told that all the time. No, they're just teasing. Sponges are cool, and sponges are very, very fascinating things. They're useful in cleaning. If you've ever cleaned and used a sponge, because of their absorbent properties, they're very, very useful. You can soak something up, and then whenever it's exposed to something, it draws it in, and then you can wring it out. And I was thinking about this wringing out process. It seems cool to us, but I bet it's not too fun for the sponge. What do you think? No one ever thinks about the sponge during this wringing out process. And sometimes you don't know what a sponge has soaked up until you wring it out. Sponges are useful, but they often need some care. A couple of times, I've done a lot of cleaning in churches over my life, and there are times that I've found a sponge and squeezed it, and what came out of it was not wonderful. Even though on the outside, it looked fine. On the outside, it looked clean, but once you squeezed it, yuck. I mean, yuck. And so this squeezing process, if you want to clean a sponge, you have to soak it and squeeze it, and then soak it and squeeze it and soak it and squeeze it. This is a squeezing process, is kind of a testing of sorts until you squeeze it and what comes out is pure, clean liquid. And so this morning, I'm going to look at the Word of God at a squeezing process of sorts for Jesus' followers in the form of a sudden storm that we're going to find in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. And let me set up Mark chapter 4, because when we get to the Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching and he's got a great crowd of people. And the crowd's getting larger and larger. He's beside the sea, and so he literally gets in a boat and kind of goes out so that everyone on the hillside could hear him. When we see pictures of this area, you can almost see how it's like a natural amphitheater. And so Jesus sets out on the boat. He's standing up, and he's teaching this major crowd. And now when we read Mark chapter 4, it's very interesting the things that Jesus is teaching. If you've ever heard the parable of the sower and the seed, how seed is sown and then birds come out and they take it and they devour it. And some seed is scorched because of the sunlight, because it doesn't have any depth. And some seed grows up along with weeds and the weed chokes it. So you have good seed, which later he explains is the Word of God. And then you have all of this opposition coming against it. You got birds, you got scorching heat and sun, and you have weeds. He's expressing the meaning of these parables. Jesus was teaching in a series of parables, but then would pull the disciples aside and explain what he meant. He told them that this good seed was the Word of God that was sown. And when God's Word is sown, we can see there is much opposition. Amen to that. You know, when you start growing for Christ, when you start getting serious for Christ, the devil starts getting serious about coming after you. So the disciples were hanging out with Jesus, and they were listening to what was being taught. They were following his instructions. Let's pick it up in verse 35 through 38. On that day, when evening had come, so Jesus is in this boat. He's teaching all these people gathered on this hillside up in front of him. He said, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. So that means that there wasn't a lot of preparation done. Jesus was done teaching. He said, let's go to the other side. They said, we out of here. Boom. Okay. He said, and other boats were with him. Verse 37. And a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. I tell you what, this is interesting because this kind of messes with us. We see the disciples walking with Jesus. We see the disciples. I mean, it's kind of like they're going to church. They're listening to the messages. They're hearing the messages explained. They're hanging out with Jesus. They're following his instructions. Why in the world did a storm come? You know, a lot of our theology, if we really want to, you know, be honest, is we think that when we're doing things right for God and right with God and we're pursuing God, that somehow that would exempt us from the storms of life. When in essence, actuality, we find just the opposite. So today I want to talk to you about the storms of life, because every one of us in this room has experienced these storms in life. And I'd like you to maybe get the perception that when you hit that time, there are some things that are being squeezed out of you. You may look like a clean sponge on the outside, but when the storm hits, you find out what's really on the inside. No one's listening to me today. I tell you, they show what's really going on. And so for that reason, the storms of life are actually quite important. In fact, they're quite useful. So there are several reasons when we begin to look about life storms. And when we break them down, you know, there's a lot of things. Some storms, let's just be honest, some storms we bring on ourselves. I want to hear an amen to that one. Some storms in life, you know, we just constantly, the decisions that we make, the stubbornness of our heart, you know, the ignorance of our choices set us up for a storm. Now, I know we like to blame everything else, and we're perfect, but the bottom line, you know, you ever seen that bracelet, the What Would Jesus Do bracelet? I saw a meme that I think is good. Instead of, we say, what would Jesus do, but probably more accurate is, Jesus would probably not have gotten himself into this situation in the first place. That doesn't market quite as well. So maybe we can kind of back up a little bit and ask ourselves that question. If you've not been in a storm of life, I just want to give this advice to you. Just wait. Just wait. Everyone's going to have it. Some storms, without getting too meteorological on you, storms actually serve functions. There's a constant flow of electrons from the earth to the heavens. And when you have a storm, you have these bolts of lightning and negatively charged electrons come back to the earth, and it helps with balance. In the forest, storms are useful to tear out dead growth. Storms are useful to remove and to purge things that ought not be got to be there. Storms in life that are as a result of poor decisions help us learn not to make these same decisions. As a kid, let me just give you an example of some storms we bring on ourselves. I'm going to say three words to you, okay? The first word is slingshot. The second word is wasp. And the third word is nest. Oh, where were you when I was 7? Don't do that. You know how you learn to not do that? Sometimes to do that. Even though said, I remember being told, just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. So I left them alone, but the slingshot didn't. Church family, I want you to know that some storms you bring on yourself. Some storms, I mean, if we want to be very, very brutally honest, a lot of us, we bring on the storms of life because we refuse to control our mouth. Well, it's not the same because now it's social media, our fingers, right? We say things that maybe we ought not say. We bring ourselves into league. We put things out there. You know, I know that in this world that we live in, it's like, do you have a feeling if you don't express it on social media? Actually, yeah, you can keep that to yourself. There are some ways that we can learn that we take thoughts captive before they just come out of our mouth. And what I'm finding is more and more people are, goodness gracious, we look at our political system and now everything is recorded and you say, well, this person said this and this person said, yeah, they really said it. Maybe they wish they hadn't. Have you ever said something that you wished you hadn't have said? And you brought on a storm of life, and that's teaching you the wisdom of Solomon that says, in many words is foolishness. So some storms are a result of our poor decisions. These storms are of our own causing, and these are relevant. But there's also some storms are actually just random. Some storms are just random. You go to the next one there, please. I'd appreciate that. Oh, it didn't take off. That's there you go. Yeah. Some storms are just random. Some storms just happen. Just as a result of us living in a fallen world. There are some storms in life. We live in a world where there is now sickness. There is now discord. There is now the land that we work doesn't give up its fruit willingly. There's toil. It's because we live in a world. There are just some random things that happen to us. There are some things that are just part. And I know that that's hard for maybe 5-point Calvinists in our midst today. But the bottom line is this world is broken. And because we live in a broken world, there is suffering, there is sickness, and storms are going to happen. But then there are some storms that are attacks of Satan. There are attacks of Satan and fallen angels, and these things were intended to try to discourage us, to try to distract us, to try to pull us away from the purpose of God in our lives. Now, not every storm is a demonic attack, and not every storm is just random, and not every storm we bring on ourselves. But some storms are, in fact, we bring on ourselves. Some storms, they just happen. And some storms are attacks from Satan. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. The Apostle Peter writes, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. In other words, Satan is attacking. There are forces of evil. There are demonic forces that are attacking God's people and causing suffering all around the world. Last week, Pastor Greg shared some of these things. People who were passionately following Jesus, and Satan stirred up the hearts of other individuals. There was demonic, I believe that is absolutely demonic in nature, to go and to attack and to go after God's people, to cause suffering. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 3. So we've seen what the Apostle Peter says. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says. Let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Church family, the Apostle Paul is letting us know that there are some storms in this life that are a result of the enemy trying to come against the people of God. And the good news is that Peter tells us that we should be sober-minded and watchful, and Paul says that we should be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. And that we have armor. We have the whole armor of God. These wonderful things that Paul breaks out in Ephesians chapter 6 and lets us know that we can stand firm. That he, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So life storms. So some storms we bring on ourselves. Some storms are just random. Some storms are attacks of Satan. And some storms come as we follow Jesus. Some storms God allows, and some storms, I dare say, God even purposes so that we can grow, so that we, as those sponges, can maybe see what's really on the inside, that we can have such things even drawn out. Wait a minute, you mean that you can be a follower of Jesus and be led into a storm? Yes. And I got to say, I've experienced that. The fact that you encounter a storm is not necessarily that you're doing anything wrong. Some storms are purpose to promote and to propel and to prove you. When I was in school, I remember taking classes, and we'd start a unit, and we'd go through that unit, and when you come to the beginning of the end of the unit, the teacher would say, there's going to be an exam, a test, an exam, yes. And what was the purpose of this? Because teachers are sadistic. No. Some might be. The reason is that testing lets us know what we know and what we don't know. I have a daughter in nursing school, and she really is having to study hard. And one of the ways that she has said that she learns the best is she takes practice tests to find out what she does not yet know. And yet we don't think it works that way in our walk with the Lord. We think, oh, this is horrible, this is bad. No, tests help us understand what we know, and tests help us understand that what we think we know, that might not be so. Boy, sign me up for that class. Because sometimes this sponge needs to be squeezed, because some things that I thunk weren't so. Some things need to be squeezed, and then I can soak, and then squeeze, and then soaked, and then squeezed, and then soaked, so that when the squeezing happened, there's no more crud in there. Come on, somebody. I know it's not pleasant. I understand that. You usually have to take a test before you graduate, and then you can go to the next phase. You can go to the next level of classes. You can take, there are prerequisites. And just like there are prerequisites of a progression for you to learn and you to be equipped for your career or your job or your schooling, there are also a test that God likes to bring into our lives when He wants to promote us, when He wants to take us to the next level of our purpose. So what should we be doing in the midst of these storms? Well, James, now again, in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, let's think about who James was. James was a brother of Jesus, okay? Now, when Jesus was doing His earthly ministry, James was doubtful. Hello? When you read scripture, Jesus' brothers weren't always on board with their brother who was getting fame, who was having... How would you like to be Jesus' brother? Can't you be more like your brother? Come on! Talk about blowing the curve. Your brother's just a little angel. Yeah! Yeah, talk about daddy's favorite. I mean, come on now. So imagine this. So during his life, and it wasn't until Jesus died and resurrected and his life was changed. And now James went from, and again, we don't know, but we know that he wasn't listed as a prominent member in the church until after the resurrection of Jesus. And then James comes to the forefront of the church. James' life was rough when he embraced Jesus, and he knows a few things about suffering. And here's what James says: count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Some that we bring on ourselves, some that are part of this world, some that are a matter of attack of Satan, and some that come as we follow Jesus. He says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, do you think steadfastness is an important attribute to be as a follower of Jesus Christ? How do you think we learn steadfastness? You gotta have, as a sponge, it's gotta be squeezed. You gotta have some testing. He says, and let the steadfast have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now I know, I'm gonna tell you, storms of life are not fun. Storms of life are not necessarily fun, and yet we can count it all joy. A trial is seeking to prove something. Is something really so? Remember that sponge. It has to have some pressure on it to reveal what's inside, to see what it's really soaked up, to repeat that testing and get out what needs to get out and work in what needs to be worked in. So let's go back to Mark chapter 4. The disciples are following the word of Jesus. They're listening to his teaching and his private explanations. He tells them, go to the other side. They immediately head that way. Now, whether it was wise or not to not, you know, be more prepared, we don't know. But they're following Jesus, listening to his teaching, and suddenly they encounter a storm, a testing. Some pressure is being applied, and the boat that they're in is filling up. Okay? Let's pick up. It says, and the waves were breaking into the boat. So here they are in this boat, and the waves are coming over the top, so that the boat was already filling. Just an observation here. We're going to find out where Jesus is. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Now, this is an observation. Where is the stern of a boat? So we have the bow, which is the, and the stern, which is in the. I don't want to go too deep on this, but I want a question. Is Jesus in the front of your boat or is he in the back of your boat? I'm not going to go deep on that one because let's say, I don't know that we can make a huge theological case that they had Jesus in the back of the boat because Jesus had, the human part of Jesus had worked all day. He had preached, he had shared, he had been very active, and now he was resting, he was sleeping. By the way, he had a cushion, so Jesus was prepared to take a nap. Okay? A storm comes, they're freaking out. Jesus was not worried. Jesus wasn't losing, you know, his cool. We have this thing. Jesus is not worried about the things that worry us. You need to understand that. I say that a lot, but you need to know. The things that freak us out do not freak him out. When will we learn that? When we go through it over and over. Church family, there have been times that I have cried out to God. I have cried out to him and said, I can't take it. You know what he says back? I know, I can. You know why we say we can't take it? Because we haven't given it to him. All right? I found that we have to call out, I'm going to use an acrostic here, help. The word help. In the midst of storms, I want help. Okay, the H is, I feel helpless. How many of you felt helpless when you're in a storm? Now get this. These were fishermen. Some of these apostles, these disciples, their entire life was fishing. They knew storms. It was not an uncommon occurrence. They were trained how to deal with storms. Many of us, we know how to handle a lot of situations, but there are some situations that make us say, this is beyond us. With all of their knowledge, with all of their skill, with all of their talents, with all of their wisdom, with all of their might, this storm was more and made them feel helpless. I imagine they're sitting here trying to get water out of the boat. They're trying to do everything they can to keep it. And then what else happens? Storms in life, they take us beyond what we were prepared for. I'm in a couple of those storms right now. I'm in storms right now in my life that are way beyond me. They're making me feel absolutely helpless. I feel powerless to them. But I'm having to rest and say, I know that there's a God in whom I'm placing my faith. And that these storms are purpose-stormed. And they're designed to get me to quit trusting in myself. And so that, I don't want Jesus in the stern. I don't want him in the storm. I don't want me setting the course and him lagging behind. You see, the other thing that happens in a storm is it makes me very emotional. Anybody lose their cool in the storm? You just like, God, why? You go through a storm and you're like, you get emotional. Storms like this, storms that make us feel helpless also make us feel emotional. We experience fear. We experience frustration. We ask the question, why? Some storms, if we want to be honest, some storms cause us to walk by fear, not by faith. I'll say amen to that because it's true. I don't want it to be that way. But if I'm honest, I think that I got it all together and my sponge looks nice and clean and nice and neat, and then you squeeze it the right way and it's like, what did that yuck come out of? These times bring us frustration. I love this phrase. Looking at Jesus sleeping in the boat, the humanity of Jesus was resting because the divinity of Jesus was present. Isn't that deep? The humanity of Jesus slept and rested in the storm because of the ever-present divinity of Jesus. And so if you're freaking out in your storm, I want you to know that He's near. If you're freaking out, and I want you to know that Jesus is Lord over the storm, and that's why He's not freaking out. And so when we feel helpless and when we feel emotional, we experience loneliness. We think, oh, it's all up to us. These emotions lead us to abandon our faithfulness. We cannot be led by emotions of life when the storms come up. Those emotions that the storms elicit, we have to put them in the right place. And sadly, we begin to question, where is God? Why has He left me alone in this storm? We pray, our words go up, they hit the ceiling, and they feel like they come right back. And this, my church family, is the perspective that storms bring. Storms reveal our perspective. They reveal how we really view God. We're about to see what the disciples, how they really view Jesus in just a moment. And the root is actually a theological challenge. You know, where is God? What is He doing? Why is He not helping me? Look at this, okay? Let's back to 4:37 through 38. The waves are breaking into the boat. The boat was already filling, but He was in the stern asleep, and they awoke and said to Him, now think, your boat's being tossed and turned, there's water coming in the bow, what's the question that you're going to ask Him? Don't you care that we're perishing? Look at this, do you not care that we're perishing? Does that sound like fear? Does that sound like resentment? You know what's kind of in there? It smacks of entitlement. We're followers of You and we should never experience tough times. The fact that we're experiencing a tough time means You don't care. When in actuality, the fact that they're experiencing a tough time is because He cares. Next week, we're going to really lean into something else that's quite condemning in this whole thing. So of all the questions that they could have asked, why this one? Because I believe, it's my belief that the purpose of this storm was to get them to see how they were viewing Jesus. Let's go on here. Verse 4:39 through 40. Now we're going to kind of get to see the divinity of Christ. He said, and He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? So look, they were listening to Jesus. They were hearing His teaching. They were seeing Him do miracles. They were serving Him, but their faith wasn't growing. Does that sound familiar? How many times does Jesus prove Himself over and over and over and over and over, and yet our perception of who He is doesn't change? We say, well, preacher, you're reading a lot into this. Oh, really? Look at the next verse. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this? Wait a minute. What's the question they asked there? Who is this? Hello? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So let me get this straight. Jesus had been doing miracles and they're asking him, who is this? He's already been showing them who he was. But it wasn't translating to faith. I tell you what, church family, we have the root of the problem. Because here's what's really pronounced to me. In the storm, they had fear. Oh, back up. In the storms, they had fear. But when they saw Jesus, who he was, they had great fear. Now they're more afraid. They're more respectful. They're, you know, this word fear isn't just terror. It's reverence, honor. They now had great fear and they said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They were more freaked out at Jesus than the storm. They had fear of the storm, but now they have great fear when they're confronted with who Jesus was. So let me ask you this question, church family, because this is at the root. Their behavior wasn't reflecting their confession of who Jesus was. Is ours? If Jesus was who the Bible says he was, who we hear sermons about his authority, about his lordship, if we sing things that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in our walking that out every day, do the decisions and priorities that we hold reflect who he really is? Come on, that's where the rubber meets the road. In how you steward your money, in how you steward your time, in how you react and relate to your neighbors, and yes, the annoying neighbors, in how you conduct your business, and how you steward your eyes, steward your ears, your time and your talent, is it in line with who Jesus really is? And I'd say we all have room to grow. Come on. I'd say we all have room to go. And I'd say, that according to James, that how do we grow? Storms and trials of various types. So Jesus, you know, look, if you're in a storm in your life right now, here's what I want you to know. Jesus is a badder dude than your storm. And now when I say a badder dude, please hear me right. I'm saying not that he is bad or evil. I'm saying he's more powerful. Jesus is more powerful than any storm that you are facing. We got people who are fighting cancer. We got people who are fighting things in their body. We got people who are fighting things doctors don't even know what they are. And here's what I want to tell you. God is greater. God is more powerful. God is stronger. Sometimes in life's storms are to help us know who he is. They reveal how we are seeing him, and they propel us to see him as he is. So my big point for us here is, why in the world did they wait until the waves were overflowing before they woke Jesus up? Church family, I think that's where we are. We kind of have this mentality, we got it. And until the storm just about takes the boat over, until the waves are breaking over, and when we realize that we can't keep up, then we invite him into our mess. But by then, we have so many different perspectives. Why do we assume that God doesn't care? Invite him into the bow in the midst of your storm. Don't leave him in the stern. And call out to him in faith. My final thought for us here today is, in the storms of life, come to Jesus in faith. You see, Jesus wasn't mad that Jesus wasn't upset that his nap got disturbed. Jesus, how many of you got, you wake up, you're mad if you get woken up? I'm not about to give any examples in my household. We're just going to stay away from that. But there are times when people are sleeping and you wake them up. I got people looking all over at their spouses right now, so we're just going to step away from that. There are times in this, there are times that we think that, you know, we have this all the time. Oh, God's not concerned about this. God's not concerned about, and we don't realize our prayers are not trying to convince God. God is already for us. Our prayers do not twist God's arm. He's already there. So what's the purpose of our prayer? The purpose of our prayers are to develop relationship, to grow to know who He is, and sometimes our prayer are to impact the other situations around us. The storms in life that we create to work wisdom in. The storms of life that just happen because we live in a fallen world push us towards that there's another world to come. The storms in life that are results of demonic attacks that greater and more authority God has than the evil one. And the storms that He leads us to as a result of following Him to grow us in faith. And so in the storms of life, God has purposed these storms. They can be used to refine, to purify. And just like that sponge that needs to be squeezed and soaked and squeezed and spoked to get all that junk that's under the surface out, He uses life storms in such a way to let us know Him in a deeper way, to grow in our faith. This story tells us Jesus is not shaken by our storms, the things that shake us. And whether the storm, again, whether the storm is one that you brought on yourself, whether the storm is simply because of living in a fallen world, whether the storm is an outright attack of Satan or a demonic force, or it's one that comes by following Jesus, the answer is all the same. Turn to Jesus in faith. In faith. Not in fear. We can turn to Him and we can find far more than comfort. He can allow us to speak His word to the storms of the greatness. And quit telling God again. We tell God all the time about how great our storm is, and we forget to declare to the earth of how great our God is. That would change a whole lot. That would change. So don't be afraid to come to Him. Come to Him in faith, not fear. Next week, we're going to go a little bit deeper and try to look at the purpose of these storms. So now we've seen that they wring us out. They bring things out to the surface that may have been deep on the inside. And I know that that's not fun, but it's an important, important job as we want to grow in Christ and be used by Him. Amen? Hey, let's all stand up to your feet. Stand on your feet here this morning. Father God, we come to You today. And God, I know that there are people in this room, and I know that there are people even watching online right now, that the storm has literally just taken them over. Their boat is shaking. The waves are crashing over the bow. And Lord, they're wondering, maybe just like the disciples, do You care? And God, I pray that we could just have, that the God that we're speaking to about our storm already knows everything about it. In fact, our steps are even ordered to be in this place. God, I pray encouragement. I pray that our response to these storms wouldn't be one that we just deny them, that we put our head in the sand and we ignore them, but rather that we would come to You. And God, as we come to You, we'd understand that fear is a natural response, but we have supernatural power through Jesus. And so God, I pray encouragement now. I pray that as a result of the storms of life, that we would know You more, and that we would know that You have the power to literally speak a word and peace comes, and stillness and great calm, Lord. I pray that I'm not praying, God, that the storm relegates. I'm praying that we learn more about You through it. I'm praying that we get that process, as James talked about, that we would be perfected, that we would not be lacking in the things. And so, yes, Lord, be Lord over the storms that are going on inside the church family and those viewing on today. Lord, we speak Your lordship. You are greater, and we worship You, God, and we trust in You. And so, yes, we call out to You, God, that our boat's filling up. But we're not calling out with an idea that somehow that this shouldn't be happening. We're not calling out with an idea that something is wrong. We want to declare that You are right. And we want to declare our faith and our trust in you. So God, calm the storms. We pray, God, that these storms of sickness and illness, God, that you would move with a spirit of healing. We rebuke every plan of Satan, every demonic force that
the First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with a life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.